Did I drive for Uber? In fact, I did. I enjoyed driving for Uber for a few weeks. It was the summer of 2016. And I did that because I was doing some research on Uber, and I thought I need to know what the world looks like to an Uber driver. I also drove for Lyft. I very much enjoyed driving for Uber. I didn't make a lot of money. I definitely didn't make enough money as an Uber driver to be tempted to quit my day job at MIT. I viewed Uber driving as an opportunity to collect data on labor market outcomes. I enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed talking to passengers. I don't know if my passengers enjoyed talking to me, so I would ask passengers where they worked and whether they liked their jobs and how much they make and had they ever thought about driving for Uber. And some people like that sort of discussion, but many people did not like that too much. So my ratings weren't too high. The research study that I did, it's a paper I wrote with Jonathan Hall, who works at Uber, and Sidney Caldwell, who was my PhD student at the time. We were interested in aspects of the driver labor market. One question that's very important to Uber and very important in labor economics is how elastic drivers are, how responsive they are to wages. Do they come out more on more days and drive for more hours when pay is high? Academic literature in labor economics has a vigorous debate between a sort of a more behavioral view where people drive less when their wages are high because they have a kind of a target. And when they hit their target, they go home. That's very hard to rationalize with a straightforward intertemporal optimization model. In a straightforward intertemporal optimization model, people should drive more when wages are high. You should take advantage of the low-hanging fruit. So I wanted to test the alternative views of driver labor supply. That was one goal of the project. And indeed, drivers are highly elastic. They drive more when we raise their wages as part of the treatment. The other thing that Sidney and Jonathan and I were interested in is the nature of the contract that Uber drivers work under. So what is the sort of essential difference between driving for Uber and driving, say, a taxi cab? And the core economics of the models from the point of view of the drivers comes down to the compensation scheme. The typical sort of yellow cab driver has to lease the right to drive. The right to drive is embodied in something called a medallion. It's actually a piece of metal on the vehicle. The metal is not worth much, but the right to drive used to be worth quite a lot, say, in New York City. A medallion might cost $1 million, and most drivers can't afford that, so they lease a medallion for somebody. So they might pay $700 or $1,000 a week for the right to drive, but then they keep every dollar they earn. Uber doesn't work that way. Uber just takes a percentage of your fare. So you don't have to put any money up front to drive, say, today or this week for Uber. Now, the economics of that are interesting because somebody who's going to drive long hours should actually prefer the medallion model. Whereas if you're really just driving part-time, you like that Uber model where they're taking a fee. We tested the drivers' views of those compensation schemes by offering some Uber drivers the opportunity to lease. And we found that very few drivers like leasing. They much prefer the Uber model.
Ready to master econometrics? Click here to embark on an educational journey with Josh Angrist, aka Master Joshway. Or if you'd like to watch more from this interview series, click here.